Our passage today is from Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21, and Kevin Larson, our lead pastor, will be preaching today. That is going to be on 820 of your house Bible. So if you would stand and follow along while I read Matthew 14, 13 through 21 on page 820. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away and go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass and take the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And when they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being a God that always provides for our needs. You are so good to us. I know that there are many here today that have really heavy hearts. Help us to remember to lean into you, Father, for you will never forsake us. Help us to remember that it is a safe place for us to not be okay. I pray that you would be with Kevin as he preaches from your word and that you would give us ears to hear. Amen.
Thanks, Liz. Liz said that exact same thing to me yesterday at a gathering I stopped into, and it meant a lot, and I really believe that about Karis, and I'm really grateful. I don't think I really need my timer today, but I'll just use it. The show must go on. So those are, to be clear, not words that you're going to overhear among the people of Karis. Not on a Sunday morning, not Wednesday during staff meetings. That's because this isn't a show, right? This is a gathering of a group of brothers and sisters who, because of his grace, come together to worship Jesus. Several months back, one of our preachers got sick kind of at the last minute. My wife got up here. We read some scripture. We led you all in a time of prayer. And it was great. And it was cool. It's been a really heavy week. One of our young couples delivered a baby and then immediately lost their son. Our family has been through the ringer, has really felt a deep sense of loss. In Karis, with the Larsons, there's been a ton of struggle. I've had very little sleep, shed a lot of tears. So if you're a John Mayer fan, to get lighter, this is preaching with a broken heart. I felt the weight of this fallen world unlike any time of recent memory. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm essentially going to use the outline that I had put together this week after everything kind of went south. And then I'm going to give some meditations, probably through some tears, how they could encourage us. Got to stop looking at my wife. I know that as much as I love you. It'll probably be unlike any sermon I've ever preached. It'll probably be the shortest one I've ever delivered. So, hey, get to lunch sooner. And just so you know, if you don't like what I do with this passage, guess what? One thing we were talking about is, like, in a month, we're going to talk about the feeding of the 4,000. So how are we going to make that different? So Aaron's going to walk us through that, and he can fix everything that I messed up. So we're planning ahead. This is awesome. You're welcome. Here in this section, Jesus withdraws to the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. Why is that? Well, we learned from back at the beginning of the chapter, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he starts getting jumpy, right? He's getting anxious about that. And that's where he kind of says, hey, maybe this is, John the Baptist risen, you know? And then we see that aside that Aaron walked us through last week. But Jesus goes up there. He's looking for some solitude. He withdraws. Jesus isn't afraid, right, of Herod? No. He just knows it's not yet time for him to die. Plus, he no doubt wants some time alone with his father. He wants some extended time with his disciples to pour into them. So he seeks out some solitude, but if you remember what we just read, the crowds beat him to the spot, right? So he gets off the boat, and it's like, whoa, they're all here already, like this massive crowd. And another opportunity for service comes. So most of us here, right, especially on the hard days, probably would have said, hey, I'm busy now, turn them away. I've got my boundaries, I need my space. Jesus has compassion on them, right? And he heals the sick among that group. And when the long day winds down, he gives a meal to the crowd, right? I just want to talk briefly about what we see here and how it could speak to our tough weeks. Here's the first thing. Jesus is our powerful provider. Okay, this may be obvious, but this is a miracle that happens here, right? People have tried to explain this away. You know, the food just happened to go further than expected. One kid, maybe you've heard, you know, inspired all the others to share, and, you know, boom, everybody eats. No, this is a story that's told in all four of the Gospels. Plus, you know, as I already alluded to, we have the feeding of the 4,000 here in Matthew and in Mark. The Lord clearly wants us to encounter these stories and hear something about them, right? At a minimum, we could say this, that Jesus can do amazing and powerful things, like feed not just 5,000, but you add in all the women, all the kids there. That's the way they would often talk about it on that day. You're talking many, many thousands more, right? But I also think it tells us way more than that. This meal may remind us, may remind you, of another feast from way, way back in the day, back in Exodus, when God, through Moses, gives his people bread from heaven. You know, the manna, right? They're complaining, you know, we want to go back to Egypt, we're hungry. God gives them bread from heaven and you know, some quail, some protein on the side, right? The crowds here certainly thought that Jesus was some kind of prophet, right? But he was much greater than that. He was the prophet of prophets. He was not Moses, you know, reincarnated or whatever they would say then. He was a new, better, greater Moses. But this is probably even saying something far more significant than even that. Apparently, Jews in that day thought, they talked about that when the Messiah came again, when he came, that he'd bring manna once again when the Messiah came to earth. Jesus is likely communicating, or at least they're likely hearing, I'm the anointed one. That's what a Messiah means. I'm this king that you've been longing for, that you've been pleading for, that your Bible talks about. I'm this king that's going to come back and fix everything. Carlos, this world is so broken, right? So full of sin and death. It can be overwhelming. It can be so discouraging, heartbreaking. I just want to hear this basic thing that we sometimes just go past because we've heard all these stories before. Jesus is so powerful. He can work wonders. He is the king that will restore this broken world. And he can provide the biggest thing, salvation, rescue to us here, to this fallen world that we see. He is able. But he's willing to, right? He's willing. And that's a comfort. Jesus is our powerful provider who, second, loves to meet needs in us and through us. So again, he not only has the power to do something, he cares enough to use it for us. And we see him work wonders in a couple of ways here, right? So he shows up and it says that he heals the sick. He cares about overwhelming struggles we face. He doesn't promise they'll all go away immediately. We should pray. We should ask him to now. But these healings, they point ahead to that glorious day to come when that king who came first will return again, and when Jesus, the king, will make everything right again. And we can bank on that. But we can also trust, right, that he'll meet us in those struggles right now, right here, today. Comfort us with his peace as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't have to fear. He's with us. His rod, his staff, they're our comfort. We can know that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives if we're his, and that one day we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What else happens here? Jesus gives the crowd some meal, right? So he also cares about our everyday worries. And I saw commentators point out that, hey, it's not like these people were gonna starve. He's kind. He cares about the little things, the big things, but the little things. He tells us, as we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount, to call out to him for our daily bread, to know that he'll provide. He tells us, don't be anxious about anything. I'm your dad. I got you. Not food, not drink, not what you're going to wear. He's our father. He knows. He sees. He'll meet our needs. We can trust him with that, right? Bobby was telling me yesterday how he was prepping his son, Miles, to go see the eclipse. And he was telling him, of course, in the only way that he could, you know, how awesome it was going to be. But he told him, he said, hey, buddy, there's a possibility that the clouds could come and they could obscure, you know, what we see. I don't know if he used the word obscure. Miles looks at him and just says, well, you know, doesn't God control the clouds too? And Bobby says, of course, yeah, he definitely does. And so Miles says that he's going to ask God to keep away the clouds. It was just this beautiful picture of innocent trust in God, faith of a child, that he would wield all of that power for our little desires. So whether we're talking about those little prayers of a child, whether we're talking about the loss of a child, how we'll pay the next bill when you have to put down a dog, covered you through cancer, when you're walking into that job that just eats at your soul, the God who can move the clouds cares. He does. While he doesn't always promise to give us sunshine today, that it'll be blocked, you know, right at that time when, hey, the eclipse goes through the sky, or however it works, you'll have to explain, Bobby. He does say that one day, night will be no more, that his presence is going to light up our world, wipe away our tears. One way or another, someday, he is going to meet all of our needs. But do you catch what he says here, what we learn here? He'll also meet needs through us, Karis. The passage shows us the people that are served, right? But, you know, they get healed, they get fed, but it also shows the people here who serve, right? Jesus, I don't know, we kind of blast past this, but Jesus didn't hand out the food, right? He takes it, he blesses it, he gives it to his disciples, and they give it to the crowds. And they get this really amazing object lesson, you know, that they can, you know, touch and feel of his power and love. How he meets our needs. And how they're met even through others, right? So our calling is to go forth with his heart. Do you see how Jesus is described in verse 14? It says he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He had compassion. Jesus was moved literally in the original language deep in his gut. His heart was stirred. And the Lord wants us to be so moved by who he is and what he's done that we'll go out with that same compassion, right? And that it'll also move us into action, to share words of healing, to offer tangible help, you know, help with the bills, maybe a meal to those who are overwhelmed with grief, maybe babysitting for a parent that just has to have a break. So encouragement in those really overwhelming struggles, assistance in the everyday worries, God wants to form that kind of heart in us and propel us into action, and I see that so beautifully here. And when we do, his power, his steadfast love will be so much on display. I sat here yesterday with a group of guys. Tyler taught, and man, it was so encouraging. But we prayed for the McNellys who had lost a child, and there were audible sobs that could be heard throughout the room. Reminding my boys this weekend that real men cry. Tyler's a real man. Bobby's a real man. So many here are. Don't believe the lies. Bobby and Laura came and brought us a meal. You know, little Miles with his cart, Lucy with her flowers that she gave to Amy and I think was going to take home, but Amy cried enough that she decided to let her keep them. But they brought this distraction of laughter, but also a time to be vulnerable and just grieve, and it was great. But just think about this. The disciples, they saw this need with their human eyes, and they looked at their supply, and it just seemed impossible, right? 5 loaves, 2 fish. How's this going to work? You know, we can do math here. That's the way we so often can feel, right? So much need, so little time, so much inadequacy. Everywhere we turn, there's turmoil, there's tears, and whoa, what can we begin to do? But he wants us, just like these disciples, to just trust, right? To depend on him, to know we don't have it, and that's the point, to just do what he asks, to walk in faith, to hand out our plates of food, just see what he's going to do. One thing also is that he'll meet our needs as we do. So we have those, I don't know if you noticed, but there's those leftover baskets of bread at the end. So some have said that it points to how God provides, and he does it with abundance. That's true. That certainly could be what it means. He gives abundantly, right? Others have said, hey, there's 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples, 12 baskets. God's provision is perfect for his people. Man, that's good too. Wow, that could be it. But also think about this. I was reading this commentary from this musician who happens to be a scholar named Michael Card. Oh, he's an old school guy. I just remember him because he plays his guitar upside down, and he's just really gifted. But I like reading someone that's theologically read, but it's also an artist. That's just kind of my jam. But he says this. He says, those disciples, they take these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. They walk through the crowds. They make sure everyone has enough. They're probably exhausted. And when they're finished, when they're beat, they look down in their hands, and they had to have been shocked. What's left is what? Just enough for each of them to have a lunch. Right? We can know, church, as we give ourselves away, we're not going to walk away empty. Right? It's not that we don't need solitude. Jesus is pursuing that here. We do. But we need to trust when that's broken for service that he's going to fill us up. He's going to care for us too, even as we're giving ourselves for him. Okay, Jesus is our powerful provider who loves to meet needs in us and through us. And third, most of all, our need for him and his people. Verse 20 tells us they all ate and were satisfied. So again, Jesus didn't have to feed them. They would have been fine for a while. But their bellies are full, and that was a big deal. But it's also a picture, I think, of this bigger hole that Jesus fills. Now, if you know me, I wanted to let Matthew speak alone on this, but it's just hard to not read John 6, 35, and just remember Jesus crying out, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy us, Caris. Of all the things of this world, only him. And one thing that I was reflecting on is, and this is hard, but amazing, but it's so clearly and so often true that it's through those overwhelming struggles and those everyday worries that he wants to wake us up to the fact that he is what our souls really need, right? And so I say, will we believe that together? Because more important than bread, we need every word that comes from his mouth, and we need him, the very bread of life. There's something also striking about this account of this meal to me. This is where, you know, Aaron, if you don't quite see this, you know, hey, punch me and fix it later. It seems like, the thing that I think is striking about this meal is that it seems like a meal. Okay, so what do I mean by that? I mean that it's not as what you might expect this line where maybe you've been in one before where you walk through, you wait in line, and you grab your sack lunch and you take off, right? No, Jesus has everyone sit down. They reclined, it seems. That was the custom in that day. That's what you did when you had a meal together. Jesus, like a good Hebrew dad, head of the household, he'd bless the meal, right? That's what he did right here. And I think we get this picture that something bigger is probably going on here. Many have said that it points ahead to another feast, right? This one in Revelation at the coming of the Lamb, when the Messiah is going to come and retrieve his bride? I think this is a picture of us, of his people together eating, drinking, laughing, praising, pointing each other to Jesus as our satisfaction. Kind of like eating Addison's with the Skimbries at our house the other night, or the Zimmermans at their place yesterday afternoon. God has built deeply within us this need for community, for a table where we can be together and build each other up. His people, the church, they've been designed by him graciously to meet that need. So, Caris, we're called to a feast. Into a family. Yeah, down the road on that day, right now, We can have a foretaste together. We can invite in our city as we enjoy community, as we practice hospitality. We point ahead to that party in the new heavens and new earth, to a day when death will be no more, when we'll wipe away every tear, when he will wipe away every tear, and the mourning and the crying and the pain will be gone. And I hope Bobby's right and that the pups are there too. Jesus is our powerful provider who loves to meet needs in us, through us, most of all, our need for him and his people. Let's pray. Father, please be our strength. Thank you that you aren't distant. Thank you that goofy, are you powerful or are you good, you know, thing, that it's goofy, that you're both. That you care. And Lord, I pray that as your people, we would experience that today, that we would be reassured, Lord, that people that don't know you would hear the gospel that this Jesus died to bring us to you, Heavenly Father, and we can have peace that passes understanding. Wash that over us, I pray today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.